You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
This is the Roto Experts! Alongside the fantasy executive, Corey Parson, the king, Scott Angle, and Wall Street Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman, and I watched not one, but two games of the year yesterday. One in Seattle, where it was toe-to-toe Russell Wilson versus Deshaun Watson, and the other one, well, also about Houston versus the Houston Astros and the Dodgers late last night, a game which unfortunately, I couldn't stay up for it because I'd still be up now. But it was just an unbelievable game with 10 innings, the most runs scored since Blue Jays and Phillies 1993, 25 years ago. So it's just an unbelievable series there in the World Series. Excited to watch Game 6 tomorrow. But, Corey, yesterday's day of football all paled in comparison to the game in Seattle.
Yeah, no doubt. You showed Deshaun Watson once again come up big time. In a matchup where people kind of were playing him down. This is the toughest challenge yet. The narrative was that rookie quarterback go into the link and, you know, might be a good time to bench him. It's never a good time to bench Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson should be left in your lineup. Do not touch him.
Yeah, good morning. You know, the argument could be this morning, like, you know, is Deshaun Watson right now when you're doing the rest of the season, is he the number one quarterback in fantasy football? I'm going to crunch the numbers later this afternoon. But, you know, you look at guys like Brady and Breeze. They're not mobile, et cetera. Dak Prescott can sometimes yield to the running game. You know, this is a mobile quarterback with and a major passing weapon.
And thanks to Twitter yesterday and especially the Olin kid for telling us that Deshaun Watson is matchup proof.
Mm-hmm.
We needed that one. And look, he is, you know, top five fantasy quarterback. I remember a couple of weeks ago when I said that, another host on the station kind of questioned that, but we'll leave that person nameless. And that baseball game was epic in every way you want to say. Clayton Kershaw now in 118 innings pitched in the postseason has a 4.50 ERA.
Up 4-0 with the best pitcher in baseball on the mound.
You
cannot lose. You cannot lose that game. It's a bad job by the Dodgers and Clayton Kershaw. It's funny, as good as Deshaun Watson was yesterday, and he was the story of the day, throwing four touchdowns, three interceptions, threw basically 400 yards, he wasn't the quarterback that won, nor the quarterback that threw 450 yards and four touchdowns. That was Russell Wilson. I think when you talk about best quarterbacks in fantasy, Scotty, you have to include Russell Wilson in the conversation.
Yeah, Wilson's, you know, definitely within that top four conversation because this team has absolutely no running game. You know, unless they make a move today or tomorrow, which could possibly happen, you know, left tackle slash running back. But still, you know, he's throwing balls up and he's always thrown a very pretty deep ball since his rookie year. But he's not only doing that, he's dropping some dimes in there. But he's also letting his receivers go up and make plays. They're not the classic big kind of leap for the, but obviously they've worked on this. Him, Richardson, Baldwin, Lockett, they all know how to go up and get it.
Baldwin, Lockett, Richardson all can go and get it, just like DeAndre Hopkins and Will Fuller, who have just combined to be absolutely incredible with Deshaun Watson at quarterback. Remember when Tom Savage started in week one? I don't either. We'll be back right after this here at the Roto Experts.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Back here with you on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And gentlemen, last night we saw that classic between Houston and Seattle. Talked about it a little while ago. But these guys, Corey, just throwing the ball up to the receivers, we're getting the job done.
Yep, they are getting the job done. You gotta like what you're seeing from excuse me. You gotta like what you're seeing from both of these offenses moving forward. The thing about the Texans is though, they're not winning.
No, they're 3-4.
Yeah, they're 3-4. Yeah.
But that division helps them.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
And the funny thing is that we're all talking about Deshaun Watson. Deservedly so. Russell Wilson outscored him yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah. And Russ is the man, you know. It's so obvious. Like, just stop fooling around, you know, Pete and Russ, and just do what you do. Line it back, wing it 40, 45 times a game. Don't forget about those clowns that you got in the backfield and Russell Wilson to finish this year as QB1. He's going to finish this year as QB1, Russell Wilson. Because too much of the offense relies on him. They can't do nothing without him.
I feel like it wouldn't shock me if they made a deal or two before the deadline because, yeah, you're right, Corey, but I don't feel like they could. I think their goal is to like win a conference title, and I don't feel they can do that with that style of football.
No, you're right. They're not. Yeah. They're not going to be able to do it with that style of football, but they got to make the play
I
now.
I mean, yesterday in NFFC scoring, which is a 6-point touchdown passing, he put up 47.6 points. He almost put up a 50 burger.
The reason why we're talking about Watson, though, is because, you know, Watson's new on the scene, whereas, you know, we've seen, you know, Wilson, like, down the stretch in 2015 when Lynch was starting to fall off. That's the first time in his career where he really started to show that he could be a gunner. And, you know, now he's having to do it again because since 2014, the Seahawks have not had a dependable running game.
The one word I'd use for Deshaun Watson is fearless.
100%. And that's what Richard Sherman basically said, too. And said even though, you know, he seemed to hurt his ankle or hurt his calf or something like that, he got back up and said, and Sherman went up to him and said, don't you come out of this game. This is not the game, the heavy game you come out on. You keep going and pushing. And that's exactly what Deshaun Watson did yesterday in Seattle, a place where many quarterbacks have gone and failed.
He said that to him during the game?
Yes, he did.
Wow.
Yes, he did.
That quote I did not hear. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Wow. What a guy, Richard Sherman.
That's interesting, though, when you talk about the whole fearless thing, though. It's interesting because, like, Seattle will line up defensively and, you know, not change anything they do. Houston lines up offensively, and they're not going to change anything to do. They say, we don't care that Richard Sherman's over there. We're going to throw that way.
I mean, he didn't care after that, you know, after that big touchdown to Fuller. He got the pick six, and he just kept slinging it. He was not afraid of Sherman, anybody out there. And, you know, it was a hell of a game, a great game. And, you know, these guys are just getting it done. I mean, the Texans, I like them going forward. Jacksonville's got this really good defense. That's going to be a great matchup. That's going to be something, you know, that's going to be must-see TV.
Definitely. It'll be really fun. The
offense
strength
first, defense.
Defense usually
but
wins
then
that.
Again, but then again, no, defense didn't. Well, defense won the game. Yet the team with the better defense won the game yesterday. But, you know, the defense gave up 38 points. Now, look, they did have three interceptions, one for a pick six and five sacks, but ultimately, when you look at Houston versus Jacksonville, there's a big difference in quarterback.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
you didn't
Blake
see that
Bortles
yesterday.
Can do the shootout like Russell Wilson played.
No,
Deshaun Watson was not the first
he
quarterback.
Didn't do anything like that.
Was not the first quarterback picked in the NFL draft. That was the Hall of Famer Mitchell Trubisky.
That was a mistake.
That seems fair to say. Mitchell Trubisky yesterday in the loss to New Orleans, 14 of 32 for 164 yards. I'm just shocked they let him throw the ball 32 times. After coming off a game where
they had to,
nine
though.
Times.
They really
times
did, yeah, but it's unfortunate. Zach Miller with that
brutal,
you know, devastating
injury.
Another thing, the NFL, the touchdown pass. What's a catch? What's not? I mean, the guy's season's over. He had a touchdown. They took that away from him on top of it.
Yeah, I know it was sad to see that happen, but I was watching that when it happened. I was like, oh my God, this leg shouldn't go like that. Normally, I don't watch those things. I don't have the stomach for that kind
I know,
of stuff.
No, you always
very,
say that.
Just queasy.
Yeah.
So I saw that one by accident, and I was like, oh, wait a minute. So I turned away. And I look back at the replay, and I was like, that's not a touchdown. I feel bad for the dude. You know what I'm saying? Because he's like, he left the game with a donut and a dislocated, probably a fracture in that knee. So tough times, but I think you go at Deion Sims now.
It's not about to say. You know, Corey and I were talking about this injury during our commercials. I was like, man, did you see that Zach Miller thing? He's like, yeah, I picked up Deion Sims. I'm like,
that's fantasy football.
Oh, ruthless,
people
man.
Like players trying to say, nobody cares. And look, we're playing a game and all that kind of stuff. I don't root for any injuries. Nope. I think it's just karma's going to come back at you,
sure,
and stuff like that. But, you know, we're invested.
You mean our fame's over here?
Yeah. We are invested in this. Some of us have a substantial amount of money on the line, too. Pride, whatever you want to do. So, you know, you got to be up on everything and making the moves to better your team regardless.
Jordan Howard yesterday for Chicago, 23 carries, over 100 yards, which is good.
He just keeps getting it done.
3 for 19, which is okay. But he had 5 targets, and one of those was the same exact play from week one where the Bears could have beaten the Falcons. Jordan Howard basically backing up into the end zone. All he had to do was catch the ball, and he just couldn't hang on.
And what happened next?
What did it happen next?
Dude? Cohen got the rushing touchdown.
That's right. That's SOB. Oh, my God. I was watching that. That also cost me a win this week. Man. One of the 4 carries Tariq Cohen had all day, just 2 yards. One of them was the touchdown. Cohen only caught one ball. Is Tariq Cohen droppable?
Yeah, Tariq Cohen, you can cut him.
It's mind-boggling, though, why Chicago was not using this guy in the passing
game. Yeah, they should be using
really,
him.
I don't understand. You got this young quarterback who you want to bring along. He's going to have to throw it more and more. Use this kid. This kid Cohen can, you know, get him in the open space. You don't have to throw. You don't have to throw the ball deep. You know.
They're not going to do it. You know what? I feel like I'm back rewinding years, and like I'm hearing like this get the ball more to CJ Spiller kind of thing. You know, from Buffalo, it's like you beg and you beg, but they just don't do it.
John Fox is a stubborn man.
John Fox is a very stubborn man. I'm excited to find out who the next coach of the Bears is. I think that'll be at least fun to watch when they do ultimately replace John Fox. Well, we talked about the Cowboys.
Hugh Jackson.
Is it Hugh Jackson?
Yeah. Did they flash Hugh chance. Jackson's winning percentage from the last 2 years during the game in the morning? 0.43.
Yeah. Poor Hugh.
Yeah, I can't
put start over.
Then he'll be a coach of the Bengals.
I can see that.
I can see that.
I can see that.
That's a good point. That's the one place.
That's the place.
He's got the familiarity. They like that. They're not going to pay him a lot of money.
You want to say they didn't get him for nothing?
The mom and pop operation.
Yeah,
in Cincinnati.
Exactly. The dollar store Bengals will bring him in.
He'll be excited to have another job.
99.
The Bengals train at the high school.
Going to 99 cents and things is all this Bengals merchandise.
We talked about the Cowboys a little while ago. They're competing with the Philadelphia Eagles in that NFC East. The Eagles improved to 7-1 yesterday, defeating San Francisco 33-10. The Niners, much like the Browns, both winless here on the season. Carson Wentz didn't have to do all that much. Threw 200 yards, 2 touchdowns, and an interception. Alshon Jeffrey only caught 2 passes on 8 targets. It's not a very good conversion percentage.
Just got that. He did get that
catch and run touchdown.
He did catch that 50-50 ball that we was waiting to see him catch. But still, not very impressive. 8 targets, 2 receptions, the 50-50 ball kind of saved him. He's looking like a dude that you're going to have to monitor.
He did catch and run, you know, for a touchdown. So.
Yeah, no, you got it. He did, but I would. Does he continue to get better?
The thing is, they're going to pass the ball so much.
Yeah,
and so I think he's a guy. If you can get, you wouldn't mind having on your team. Look, he's been disappointing, and you know the yardage is definitely not there. But hey, there's a shot at a touchdown pretty much every week, and I think he can get better. I'm not like so sold that he's going to be awesome the rest of the way, but you know.
On the other side, it's like Pierre Garçon. You know, he's a guy that you can't put in your starting lineup consistently every more. 4 of 6 weeks, you know, he just hasn't delivered, and you put a lot of that in the quarterback play. I know you guys in preseason kind of turned me around on him because you were saying, you know, he led the league in receiving at quarterback issues, but he doesn't have any help around there.
That quarterback change has killed him.
Quarterback change has killed him. Hoyer wasn't that good to begin with.
Hoyer wasn't, but Hoyer was getting him the ball.
I'll tell you what. So I have in my notes for the game, the quarterback change has killed everybody in San Francisco. Carlos Hyde as well. They can't move with C.J. Beathard at quarterback.
They need to cancel that 30-for-30 immediately.
What if I was to tell you?
Yeah.
You need to stop that, Monique.
You know, it's really interesting. It's that we talk about teams like want to win games more so than see what they have. This is a massive mistake by Kyle Shanahan. You want to actually try to win a game. You throw out Brian Hoyer. Because C.J. Beathard's not going to be your quarterback next year.
He checked out late in the Super Bowl, and he hasn't woke up since, Shanahan.
You made a major mistake here with Beathard. Bring Hoyer back in. You're going to sign Kirk Cousins or draft somebody else anyway. So this Beathard thing's stupid. All right, take a break. We'll talk more about this game and some other ones when we come back.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Best to try. Fantasy Factors is a perfect daily fantasy site for the casual recreational player. Flatter prize pools, smaller fields, and single entry contests only. Fantasy Factor runs NFL and NBA free rolls every week. Free to enter. Sign up right now at www.fantasyfactor.com. All right, we were talking before we went to the break that C.J. Beathard just killed everybody, and that includes Carlos Hyde. Hyde yesterday ran the ball just 12 times, 25 yards in the passing game, 4 for 22. Very disappointing game, Corey, for Carlos
Hyde. But you got to, but it's going to be like this for Carlos Hyde because that team is at the back is on a negative game script all the time. What you want from Hyde going forward is you want an RB2 that's going to catch some passes and play 16 games. If he gets injured, it's over. That's it. All value gone. Nothing you can do with him. Anybody get injured, all value gone. But when you look back on his season, if he plays 16 games, he will be a successful RB2.
And Matt Breida actually had like a touchdown yesterday.
Of course, yep.
That you wanted to go to Hyde. But this Beathard thing it's really threatening to him because defenses can just easily say, okay, let's take Carlos Hyde out of the game, Marquise Goodwin and George Kittle are not going to beat us, so it's easy to game plan against this team. Yeah, they are the worst team in football. The Browns may have the same record, but the 49ers are worse.
Yeah, I'm fearing that Beathard is going to do to Hyde what Kaiser did to Crowell this year.
Yeah,
pretty much kill the
Bears. I got it. Thanks. On the other side, we mentioned Alshon Jeffery a couple of moments ago. Zach Ertz scores a touchdown once again. That saves his day. He was 4 for 34. Never worried about him. But Nelson Aguilar, everybody's favorite, 3 for 26 yesterday.
Yeah, these games are going to come from Nelson Aguilar. You know what I'm saying? It's part of the script with Nelson Aguilar. So it's almost like if he doesn't get that touchdown, it's a problem. But listen, if you're a Nelson Aguilar owner, you got to be satisfied. You know, so far, you're not satisfied with that performance yesterday. You keep rolling him out there. Like I said, I've warmed up to him. But games like this are going to be a thing for Nelson Aguilar owners. Hopefully, it don't happen in weeks 14, 15, and 16.
Yeah, once they got up 20 to nothing, they pretty much had that game wrapped. They got the defensive touchdown to put him up. They knew San Francisco wasn't getting three scores.
That's the thing, too. It's like, and that's a good point, because people will look at the matchup and say, oh, they're playing the 49ers. Everybody's going to blow up, you know. And then, you know, you score some defensive touchdowns and things like that. You know, you get up like 20 to nothing before you know it, and then all of a sudden the stats start to scale back. You know, you look at a game like Houston, Seattle. You want an offensive slugfest, not necessarily the mismatch.
Sure. Absolutely. Speaking of games I think we thought would be an offensive slugfest, that goes with New England and Los Angeles, the Clippers, yesterday. So the Patriots in charge, which, again, I think a lot of us thought it would really be a high-scoring affair. It wasn't. It was a 21-13 victory by the Patriots, and we said it earlier on in the show. Or maybe they might have been off the air, honestly. But this Patriots running game is a four-headed attack, legitimately, between Deion Lewis, Mike Gillisley, Rex Burkhead, and James White. White, once again, his role is secure. It is carved out. It is what it is. He is a wide receiver, basically, on this team. Five catches for 85 yards. Those 85 yards led the team in receiving yesterday. Deion Lewis, we were most comfortable with him as the main running back in this offense. That held true yesterday. 15 carries for 44 yards. It was the other two running backs we weren't sure about. Mike Gillisley, we know that his role basically is as the guy in the fourth quarter that just pounds through and tries to secure the game away, and a goal line back. That held true yesterday. 11 carries for 34 yards. It was Rex Burkhead's role, which was interesting. Burkhead only carried the ball four times for 15 yards. But with, especially with Chris Hogan's injury, Rex Burkhead was very much involved in the passing game, finishing as the receiver that had the most receptions yesterday with 7, and he finished second on the team behind White in receiving with 68 yards. Matt, you've been the one all season long that has said, even when Burkhead was hurt, I don't want to cut this guy. I don't know what he's going to be, but there is going to be a role for him. With Chris Hogan's injury, we might have found out what that role is.
Yeah, no, this Hogan injury, you're hoping it's just an AC sprain.
Which Golden Tate had, right?
Yeah, so they got the bar and he can come back.
Like Golden Tate did.
Yes, that's the best case scenario here. Look, Burkhead's played 4 games this season. In 2 of those games, he has 13 points or more. They like this guy. He's like a Swiss Army knife. Deion Lewis is the guy that they want running the ball right now, but Burkhead can run it. He can do short yardage as well. He can catch passes. He could possibly even play slot. They hinted at that when Edelman first went down. So, like I said, it's just as the season goes on, you're going to need guys. People are going to keep going down. And if Burkhead can stay healthy, this is an offense that's going to put up points. So, I mean, look, you're not guaranteed and you're not, like, confident, but he's a guy you can roll out there when you have buys and stuff.
Yeah, no, I think I would go pick up Burkhead. I would make him a priority this week. I scooped him up in a couple spots last week. I think Rex Burkhead is a guy that you got to get because he's going to be involved. But it's probably going to come at the detriment of Brandon Cooks, though, which I do not like.
But just remember, if you pick up Burkhead this week, knowing that you need a running back, they have a bye this week.
But this is when you can get him, possibly.
That's right.
Yes, absolutely. I want to note that because I have a running back on bye this week. You can't just pick up Rex Burkhead and throw him in because the Patriots are one of those 6 teams on bye in week 9.
Yeah, and you worry about with Burkhead, too, though. It's like, okay, Deion Lewis all of a sudden or Gillisley will bust out with a game. And, like, I still feel like the only running back I can trust in New England is James White. But, yeah, you know, pick up Burkhead. You'll have more buyers coming up after next week, et cetera. You need running back depth.
It's like anybody that can catch in New England should be owned. Yeah. If you can catch a football in New England, you
should
be owned.
Which is not Mike Gillisley.
He's averaging, I mean, Brady's averaging 38 passing attempts a game. And he's not targeting one person specifically. He's spurting it around, getting it to the open guy. So if they can catch, own him.
That includes Danny Amendola?
It includes Danny Amendola.
Okay. Do you want to
make all sure those field goals yesterday killed me, watching them kick.
Are you satisfied with Tom Brady?
The last couple of weeks have been disappointing. He's been leaving points on the field.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
been disappointing. But I'm hoping in the leagues I have him coming off the bye, we just go full throttle. New
warm him up, Bill. Let's go.
it's like we've had stretches, though, where Brady was saying, are we satisfied? And then all of a sudden, he'll blow up for several weeks.
Yeah, I'm not questioning Tom Brady.
Not everybody blows up every week.
Yes, of course. On the other side,
questioning Tom Brady, but, you know, it hasn't.
I mean, he's still, what, number 3?
Yeah, he's still number 3. I just.
And look, when
15
when you pay up for that and you get top 3, you can't complain.
Yeah.
I don't know about Amendola, though. 2 catches, 14 yards.
Well,
yesterday.
He went into that game banged up yesterday. Yeah. Yeah. We didn't start in the league. I had him with Christopher Caro, NFC Hall of Famer. We didn't start him. And the thing that was infuriating me is this guy came in with a bad knee and he's returning punts.
Yeah.
Like, come on. I don't know. You're going to the playoffs, the Patriots. There's no way they're not going to the playoffs. Why not, you know, get this guy healthy? You're going to need him.
He'll get injured during a playoff game, unfortunately.
On the other side, Phillip Rivers had 212 passing yards, a touchdown, and an interception. Touchdown comes to Travis Benjamin, Matt, which was good, 5 for 64. He also cost his team the game.
That's
going
your boy,
backward
man.
10 yards for a safety.
Yeah, that safety was pretty insane. But this is a guy that I don't understand why he is not used more in this offense.
Yeah.
Every time they throw deep or something, he gets himself. He touched the ball twice the week before. He returned a kick. He caught a touchdown. This guy is a playmaker. Rivers has gone to him. Look, he's got 4. He's another guy. 4 games this season, over 13 points. You know, 2 weeks ago I started him. He got 0 points. But that shouldn't happen. He is a weapon. He should be utilizing this. And, you know, hopefully going forward they do. They have the bye this week. I mean, they got to prioritize what they want to do coming out of this bye, the Chargers.
I think they have the defined role for him in the passing game where he's that deep guy, and that's what he is. They're not going to throw him slants. They're not going to throw him curls. I don't know what's ever going to evolve for him.
Going back to the Patriots 1 second, because I just saw this on Twitter. Mike Reese, ESPN beat reporter, I believe, for the Patriots, tweeted at the snap count for the Patriots. Deion Lewis led the way with 30. James White, as you couldn't expect, would lead the way. Only had 20. In between those guys, it was Rex Burkhead with 27. Gillisley had 13. 11 of those 13 he had carries. But Rex Burkhead significantly out-snapping Mike Gillisley here. And as I said, out-snapped James White as well.
The thing with Deion Lewis, and look, I think he's supremely talented. He's been an injury risk over his career. I think the Patriots definitely want to save him for the playoffs as well. But he's not catching passes. He is a running back. He is just a runner right now. And it's Burkhead and White that are catching the passes.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. You mentioned a lot of Dez Bryant a little while ago, Scott, about being disappointed with Dez Bryant. And one name that Corey mentioned here about potentially being disappointed with was Keenan Allen. Exactly. 4 catches for 61 yards. And on the season, my man Keenan Allen, if we had told you he's healthy for the first 8 games of the year, you'd be like, oh my God, it's awesome. 40 catches, 548 yards, and a touchdown. Now, he is on pace for over 1,000 yards. I mean, he's on pace for over 80 catches, over 1,000 yards. But the touchdowns that are concerning. What are your feelings of Keenan Allen going forward?
I feel like he's looking like a wide receiver, too, at this point.
Yeah.
You know, like, he has the talent to maybe have a big breakout game. But you start wondering if, like, the injuries, and especially last year's, are like, you know, maybe robbed him of a little bit of something.
It's a new offense.
It is a new offense. But real quick, I would go out and buy Keenan Allen. They got the bye coming up. Then they got Jacksonville after the bye. After that, it's Buffalo at Dallas, Cleveland, Washington, at Kansas City, and at the Jets. That's a hell of a schedule to finish off.
But the tasty matchup was yesterday, too, though, against the Eagles.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like it's a new offense, but
I still got to believe this guy gets
You got to get better, but you watch Keenan Allen and just like, he's not as nifty as he was in the past.
I think people are down on him right now. Maybe rightfully so. You got a bye coming up in Jacksonville. If you're in a position of power, I go out and buy him.
Well, look, I'm not crazy about what I see on film, but I'm holding on to the guy.
On a points per game basis, Keenan Allen is wide receiver 24.
Barely a wide receiver, too.
Barely a wide receiver, too.
All right, take a break. We will come back and talk more here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Yes. This is not Full House, no. This is a different sitcom, potentially.
I expect better from Don Burns.
I'm sorry. Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Roto Experts. And after coming down with a bad AC joint himself, Jameis Winston came out and had his best game of the year in Week 7. So everyone went back to the bandwagon in Week 8. It did not work out. 210 yards passing, 0 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Corey, very disappointing game from your boy.
Yeah.
Jameis Winston.
It's not going to cut it right here. It's got to go to the corner.
Yeah.
Send him over here.
Some poor decision making yesterday, too. It's just like you saw bad Jameis yesterday. Although, I did love his post-game press conference where he took a shot at Cam. He goes, he smiled. He said, I'm not going to sit here and pout about it. I just love playing in the NFL.
I don't know if that was a shot at Cam.
He did take a shot. He said, I'm not going to sit here and pout about it.
Both quarterbacks were very disappointing. I thought this could be a nice offensive matchup.
Yeah, I know a lot. I know a lot of people yesterday, DFS wise, was all over the Panthers yesterday, and it didn't happen. It just did not happen. Kelvin Benjamin 3 for 39 and a touchdown, and your boy Devin Funchess 2 for 11.
You know what? Devin Funchess is getting targets, but the results are not translating. So you know what? He's not an automatic start. He was getting into that range where he looked like somebody you could at least flex comfortably. Yep. But
I was trying to squeeze him into my lineup. I'm glad I didn't.
I put him in a lineup, and I regretted it. But Benjamin is getting the touchdowns. If he doesn't get the touchdown, he at least gets like 80 yards for the most part and gets the receptions. So it's still Kevin Benjamin, even though Funchess was out-targeting him in the red zone.
Yeah, with Funchess originally, I was like, this is a guy who could be 5 for 50, doesn't go anywhere after the catch. And I said, oh, maybe he's for real, and I just stuck with my original estimation, you know. Hopefully you get lucky, but when you can't take advantage of a matchup like that, it's a big fantasy
concern.
The
high-powered NFC South, which has had all these great offenses for all these years, the quarterback play in this division has not been has been mediocre at best.
Yeah.
Jameis has been ups and down.
Drew Brees didn't throw a touchdown pass yesterday.
We knew Matt Ryan was going to regress, but he's regressed seriously. Jameis, we was expecting the next step. He's still hovering where he was at. If you wanted Cam to bounce back, he's shown signs and flashes. Drew Brees not knowing when he's normally been. This division has gone more to the way of defense and running the football.
Tampa doesn't have a defense, though.
Yeah, that's the point. They got a line, but they can't do nothing with them if they don't get the sack. Just touchdown.
They lost Noah Spence, too.
Saints
that hurt.
The defense, I mean,
it's better.
That kid Lattimore is becoming a star.
Marshall
Lattimore. We're watching it unfold.
And who's the other corner? I forget his name. Yeah, he's playing very well, too.
You know, their run defense, I'm not so sure about, but that pass defense is really no joke.
I'll say this here. You're absolutely right. New Orleans has a defense, unlike a lot of these teams.
I don't know about Atlanta.
In the NFC South.
Back and forth.
What don't you know about them?
It's like sometimes they look. I feel like, you know, they got Dan Quinn there, and they want to play the Seattle-type defense, and that's what schematically they line up and doing, but they don't have that kind of talent.
I'll tell you about Atlanta in a second. I'm incredibly unimpressed week in and week out, and it mainly has to do with Steve Sarkisian. But this copycat league, you just said it right, Corey. All these quarterbacks are underwhelming, and Matt, you pointed out that they're kind of leaning toward defense and handing the ball off. They are taking the Dallas Cowboy model in that you play ball control, you hand it to your running back, you play good enough defense, but your defense isn't on the field as much because you can run the football, and that's what they're
doing. Look what the Saints are doing.
The Saints are doing it to perfection.
Correct. Mm-hmm. The Saints are 1,000% doing it to perfection, and it's working in a major, major way.
Speaking of the Saints, who would you rather have rest away, Kamara or CMC?
CMC yesterday, 4 carries total, 3 yards. He did leave the team in receiving yards with 49 and led the team in receptions with 5.
What's his high for receiving yardage?
Running yards?
My answer is going to be Alvin Kamara.
Kamara too, because there's...
Kamara can run!
Like McCaffrey, there's no big playability. He doesn't make anybody miss. He catches all these passes, but then he doesn't do anything after the catch, and he doesn't make people miss. It's like Kamara is like he runs the ball and he catches the ball and he's got some big playability.
I mean, I want to say CMC because he's on target for like an insane amount of receptions.
Yeah,
but the problem is when Ron Rivera comes out and makes like this asinine statement, they want to like reduce his role.
Yeah,
he's in there
for Cameron
Artis Payne, you know, pass plays and stuff, and it's like, this is one of your playmakers. I could see taking Stewart out and giving, what's his name?
McCaffrey.
No, the other
Artis Payne. Artis Payne.
Yeah, Artis Payne. Thank you.
CMC and
CAP. Giving Artis Payne some more running, you know. Because I don't think Stewart, look, he got the touchdown yesterday, but he hasn't been impressive at all.
No.
But I think McCaffrey needs to be on the field for this team.
He's only averaging 7 yards a catch, despite all the catches that he's racking up. It's just like... There's nothing there after the catch.
In the PPR, you'll take it, and he's a starter in the PPR every week.
You know what? I think it was
Roto-World.
Because
he racks up those catches. But you want to see more explosive plays. You want to see him play better. You know, everybody talk about how he's this good in-between-the-tackles runner. We have not seen that at the NFL level yet.
I can't take credit for this, Corey, but I'm going to ask you this question. Roto-World pointed this out. McCaffrey got drafted in the third round, right? Would you have drafted Theo Riddick in the third round? Because that's who he's been.
No, I wouldn't have said Theo Riddick in the third round.
He's with
Theo
Riddick.
I was against he's got 49 receptions.
That's true, too.
How many did Riddick have last year?
Listen, Christian McCaffrey's an RB1 in PBR.
If you're playing PBR, you're playing that format. Christian McCaffrey is a valuable piece.
He's got 50 picks.
8 games, he's got 49 passes. He's on pace for almost 100 receptions.
You can't knock that.
A running back.
You can't knock that. The thing about it is, when is he going to be a running back? But we don't have to worry about
that. He's gotten how many games where he's gotten four or less? It's like almost a handful of games. He hasn't produced at all, but he's not really getting the opportunity.
But
there's no big plays on top of that. Let me ask you this. Who would you rather have, McCaffrey or Chris Thompson?
I'm going to take McCaffrey for the consistency. He's catching the passes.
But so is Thompson, and he's making big plays.
I think I would go with Chris Thompson.
I'm going to go with Chris Thompson as well.
He's making the big plays that McCaffrey's supposed to make.
You could probably go Thompson. Either one, I don't think he's wrong, put it that way.
Yeah. But Thompson don't get the kind of work McCaffrey do. Like McCaffrey, Thompson's touches is here and there. McCaffrey get a lot of touches.
No, he caught eight balls yesterday. The difference is, though, that, like, you know that McCaffrey's getting the volume. It's like, I know where Corey's going with this, but every time Top touches the ball, he could be gone. We thought we'd get that from McCaffrey.
We did, and we're getting it from Thompson. Would you rather have Thompson or Kamara, Scotty?
I'd rather have Thompson.
You'd rather have Thompson, too?
Yeah.
Corey?
I think I'd rather have Thompson.
Matt?
I'm probably going to... Rest of the way. You know what? I think I might go CMC and Kamara over him. Rest of the way.
Now, come.
I think Kamara's on a better offense, number one. I'm going to take that. And Peyton loves him, so I'm going to take Kamara. Hey, look, it's very close either way. And I think CMC needs to be... Hopefully, they realized yesterday, look, this offense needs to get fixed. And they spent, what, the seventh overall pick on this kid? He needs to get the ball more. He needs to be more involved in this passing game. And so I'm going that way. It can go either way. All three are right there for me.
But in the month of October, on a point-per-game basis, at the running back position in PPR, Alvin Kamara is running back 10. Christian McCaffrey is running back 11.
Chris Thompson?
Look, you know what you...
Chris Thompson is running back in the month. Did DC have their bye already?
Yes, they did.
Chris Thompson is not in the mix. He's not in the RB1 conversation.
Really?
In the month, which is, I find that funny.
I find that.
Let's look at his list.
Am I looking at Jerick McKinnon?
McCaffrey had a 100-yard game a few weeks ago because they threw him the ball downfield with Kamara, they line him up as a wide receiver and let him run down the field and throw him a 53-yard pass. To Matt's point, they got to do that more with McCaffrey. They got to open things up and get him the ball more in space.
Well, yeah, Thompson had the Week 5 bye, but so did Kamara.
Okay,
the Saints and the Skins were both off.
But in week four, that's the week when Chris Thompson had the game where he only had scored 2 fantasy points. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you take that both into consideration.
I think you want to have one of those three. You're happy to have one of those three on your team. Look, as I say, if you're playing in PPR, you have to play for your format. You're not drafting. If you got Christian McCaffrey the week before the season started, late third, early fourth, and I have no qualms about that.
There's a floor there because all the catches that he gets.
By the way, this conversation, Christian McCaffrey, and where he kind of stands, it's your Monday moment here for today, Monday, October 30th. Call in on Target this afternoon when the All-In Kid, Jake Seeley, announces it, and you get a free pair of Skicks. All you got to do is tell them what the Monday moment was, which is Christian McCaffrey and what we think.
And compliment Jake on his Batman outfit.
And make sure you compliment Jake on his Batman outfit. Otherwise, I don't know if we can give you the Skicks. I don't know if we can give him the Skicks and compliment Jake on the Batman outfit. On the other side, by the way, in this NFC South, you mentioned the Atlanta Falcons, Scott. The Falcons defeated the Jets 25-20. Matt Ryan throws 2 touchdowns. Mohamed Sanu catches one of them. Once again, leads this team with 6 receptions, 74 yards on 7 targets.
That was a hell of a touchdown catch.
Yeah, Mohamed Sanu is the Falcons' number one wide receiver.
That's crazy.
I can't.
Julio Jones, 3 for 74 and 6. What's this?
Zero shares.
What's this week's Julio excuse?
I don't know. He did throw. He did target in the end zone once, at least once.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
He has a cool new commercial though.
Does he?
Yeah, Julio Jones.
I didn't see that.
Visa.
Austin Hooper also caught a touchdown. I should have had two.
Yeah. He had like 14 points in a PPR.
Yeah, good game from Austin Hooper.
Yep.
Tevin Coleman, only one reception.
That was a nice run. But you are right. We talked about it on Old School real quick, how the receptions have gone down. But that was a hell of like a 50-something yard run.
That run saved him.
Mm-hmm. Devonta Freeman's been disappointing the last 2 weeks.
I'd be careful with Coleman moving forward.
We'll be back right after this.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
It's crazy.
It's and like that, Don Burns redeems himself.
It's crazy. And you just think back on it. How much can change when you have the quarterback? Like, you draft the Carson Wentz, Eagles sit here at 7-1. You draft the Sean Watson, even though they're three and four. There is a lot of hope out there in Houston. Even Trubisky, I'm not saying he's Watson, and I'm not saying he's Wentz, but there's a little bit of hope in Chicago that things can get better. While Cleveland still sits here. San Francisco still sits here. It's amazing. The teams with the top two picks in this draft initially, Cleveland and San Francisco. Still without quarterbacks, still without wins.
It just baffled me how Hugh Jackson did not leave that draft room with Deshaun Watson.
Yeah,
it makes absolutely no sense. Didn't he tell Watson
we were going to take you and stuff like that? And what's crazy is, look, Garrett looks like he's going to be a hell of a
player. No, he is.
But
he's not a franchise quarterback.
This is a quarterback league. It's quarterback.
100%.
You really, unless you have an all-time defense. You're not winning a Super Bowl.
Like, why are you going to draft Garrett? Okay, you got two sacks. We're down 24 to nothing.
You know what? They could have drafted Garrett, and they had enough draft picks to even take whoever they wanted at number two.
Because then,
at some point in the top ten,
it's a quarterback league. And Jake Seale, the All-In Kid, co-host, of course, of the Fantasy Football Frenzy. It's a quarterback league, and Hugh Jackson in Cleveland, Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco. How did they win it with no quarterback?
Well, I understand the argument for the Carson Wentz thing, but I don't think it, look, remember, right after the draft, everybody was praising them for what they did. They said they got Garrett. They got another piece in the first round. They got a quarterback in the second round that could potentially be the future. We're playing hindsight here. I'm not blaming the Browns for not getting Watson. I'm blaming them for passing on Wentz, but not Watson. There was a lot of questions about Watson. Watson's proved this all wrong. Even his bigger supporters, nobody expected this. So I'm not going to say, oh, they should have drafted Watson last year, because everybody was saying they had a terrific draft after that.
The one thing I'll say is with Kaiser, look, he was always an athlete. There's no doubting that. But look what he did at Notre Dame. I was not impressed. The kid was not making good decisions in college. And this is going to translate over to the NFL?
I disagree with that. They had he beat Alabama. He had Alabama beat another time. And then in the playoff game versus Ohio State, they punish them, and that secondary is
Alabama.
Full of,
He didn't beat Alabama.
Who are we talking about?
I was talking about Kaiser.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah,
I was talking about Deshaun Watson. My bad.
Yeah, I got a little lost.
I think the Kaiser thing
it's a great athlete and he's a project. But look, that would have been. If they should have even got maybe a Pat Mahomes type, and I would have felt better.
Yeah. No, the Kaiser thing.
Here's
another thing interesting
what Jake brings up about. Let's say Watson is in Cleveland. Who does he have to throw to? He's got DeAndre Hopkins in Houston.
Bears.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Got Will Fuller. You know, now it's Ricardo Lewis and, you know, what?
Right.
Seth DeValve.
Even if they drafted Watson. If they drafted Watson, they would still need to fix holes in their defense. They would still need to fix the holes on the offense. This wasn't a one-year band-aid, slap it together and fix everything. So, again, we can fault them for the Wentz because there was arguments and infighting that we've heard about in the front office of the organization saying we should have taken him. And that one definitely looks like a mistake for what they did during that draft. Last year's draft, again, everybody was praising it for what they did at the time.
Like I said last, you know, the other day, who was the last good quarterback the Cleveland Browns had?
You know who's got?
Who? No, don't do that. No. Was that Doug Flutie?
But he shouldn't leave himself open for that like that, Greg. He shouldn't. He shouldn't.
You should grow up.
Let's come up next to the frenzy.
Coming up on the frenzy, we'll go through some of the things we'll go through some of the things that we learned yesterday. We'll get to waiver wire, get you ready for the waiver wire for this week, and then Dr. A will join the program. So you know what? So we got a good start to the week right here. Just recapping some of the things yesterday and see how it helped us moving forward.
For Matt Modica, Leeds from Wall Street, for the King, Scott Angle, for the Fantasy Executive, Corey Parson, of course, from Jake Sealy, the All-In Kid. My name is Greg Sussman. Stay tuned to the Frenzy. Make sure you check back here tomorrow for the Roto Experts. Coming up tonight, Monday Night Football, Chiefs and Broncos. Enjoy, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.